back into the swing of things, we're really dealing with one question. One basic question, our sugya, and that was, everybody knows that Reuven kills somebody, so he's going to be chayav mitzvah, and he's not going to pay kofar. The parish of kofar, the didn't pay kofar, the value of the victim of the person who actually killing, that parish of kofar only applies to a shor, no question about that. The problem with that din is that the Gemara makes it sound like we need a pasuk to teach us that. Gemara is a special exercise of representing the chavav. If not the special pasuk, so somehow I would have thought that there is a din of kofar. The person is killed, and he also pays kofar, and that raised a red flag to be shown him. Why would I have ever thought such a thing? Why is there a necessity to tell me, to bring me a pasuk to teach me that way? Is it an obvious, of course a person is pasuk of kofar wouldn't have been covered by the rule of kum lev gram it is. The general rule, that if I burned out a house on Shabbos, so I'm chayav nisa, but I'm potter to pay for the house. Person hits his parents, so he's chayav nisa, but he's potter to pay for the damages. Anytime that a person does an aveira that carries with him an onesh of nisa, an onesh of mammon, it's always potter for paying the mammon. So why in the world would I have thought that kofar is different? So we gave different answers to this question. The one we've been working on mostly is the answer that Tosa suggests, and actually not in the Mekam, in other places, Tosa suggests that maybe kofar is different. Because kofar falls into that category of halacha that's called kapara. And kapara, the goal of kapara is to atone for a person's chait, unlike paying for a broken window, unlike paying for a broken arm. The parsha of kofar falls into that category of kapara, and kapara don't lend themselves to kum lev gram inei. So Tosfos brought us some rayas for that, a very complicated raya of Sechas Pesachim from Tishlamei Truma, we spent a lot of time on last week. But that was basically Tosfos' theory. So we still don't understand exactly why that should be so. And not that we should have agreed to it, but we're not quite sure why Tosfos should claim conceptually what is it about the Shulik Kapara that leads us to believe that that's subject to coming to denomination. We still have work to do on that front, but we're not even up to that point yet because we still haven't finalized and still haven't completely understood this idea that Kofar is a Kapara. Now, we saw already the Gemara talks about it. We'll take a quick look back on the 9th of the Maimon Kamos. The Tosfos didn't make up the idea that Kofar is a Kapara. The Gemara has that. The Gemara actually presented that on Daf Mem Amud Aleph, the Gemara quoted the Machlokes HaTanoim, about just how to learn Pshat in the Pasuk about Kofar, the sign of it, a sign pigeon nafsho, the main nizuk. How do you evaluate Kofar? So according to the Rabbanon, you pay the value of the victim. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho v'Yechon broke up again Mazik. And Rabbi Shmuel said, no, you don't pay the value of the victim, rather you pay the value of the owner of the ox that killed the victim. Myla Bokmufi, what are they arguing about? It must be the Rabbanon Savrikuf Mamonahu, that the Rabbanon of the opinion that Kofar is basically Mamon, it's just a reimbursement, like paying for a broken arm. Obviously, you evaluate how much the arm of the victim was. What do I care how much the owner of the shore was worth? Rabbi Shmuel ben Osho v'Yechon broke a Savrikuf Kapara. Rabbi Shmuel said, no, that Kofar is Kapara, and therefore, it would make sense that the owner of the shor is one who requires the kapara. Therefore, it would make sense that you evaluate how much his body is worth, how much his life is worth, rather than how much the other person is worth. So at least we have a real nafkamina. At least we have some real concrete difference between the opinions that say that kofar is mamon and kofar is kapara. The only problem is the Gemara backtracks. The Gemara says it's not true. The Gemara continues, Amar Papa Lo, the Kuleyam Kufa Kapara. Everybody agrees that kofar is kapara, and there's something else going on in terms of the evaluation. The Gemara tries to show you what the other issue is. But when all the dust settles, you walk away from the Kavod of Mem, and we have this grandiose principle called kofar is a kapara. We're not really sure what to do with that. We're not really sure what practical difference is that. If at the end of the day, that's not the issue that impacts it, how much you pay, whether you evaluate based on the mazgun it is, so who cares? Like, it's a nice lumdashah of horse. Kofar is lumdashah gdara. Kofar is kapara. So what's the difference from Maisa, whether something is kapara or not kapara? So there are some other differences. Important just to highlight, to understand, just a little bit of a better understanding of what kofar kapara is all about before we come back to ask Sugya in terms of Kibbutz Rami Day. One of the first places that people get introduced to the idea of kofar being kapara is Sugya in Makos Nabeis. The reason why it's one of the first places, it's one of the first sectors little kids learn is why I always joke about how, I remember when I was in early years in camp, So every summer, somebody's met with always the summer learning. We learned learn Makas. We always started with Makas Abed, and we learned the first couple of lines or something. Then the summer would end. We barely turned the page. And then the next summer, they would start again. So I learned Abed and Makas about five summers in a row. Then I realized years later why we never got any further, because that Gimel is a very, very, very hard sugya. I don't think the council ever knew Pshat Gimel. So we just kept on chazing that. We used to chazing the Abed many times. So in Makas on the Abed of Abed, so the Gemara discussed the following shayla, which really highlights the idea that kapara is really, really different from mammon. The Gemara applied the principle of Edom Zomim to a scenario of kofa. What is it? They have two Edom walking the beach, and they say that Reuven's ox killed somebody. And by saying that, that tantamount to saying that Reuven has to pay kofa. Shabuah, he has to pay kofa. And then it turns out a week later that they're Edom Zomim. Two other witnesses come and say, what do you mean that Reuven killed somebody in New York on Monday at 2 o'clock? Emmanuel Yisem, you were with us in California at that exact same time. It's impossible for you to have testified what you said. That's a classic case of Edom Zomim. So the Torah says, you have to mete out to the witnesses exactly what they wanted to do to the poor innocent victim. So based on those rules, you should make them have to pay kofar. The same way they wanted to make him pay kofar, so we should make them pay kofar. So the Gemara says, no, there's no din of Edom Zomim. They don't pay kofar. Why don't you pay kofar? Because kofar is a kapara, and the Edom Zomim didn't do something that requires a kapara. Now, they did something else. They did a bad aveira. They lied and based it. But that's not the type of an aveira that requires kapara. What is the Gemara telling us? The Gemara is telling us that kofar kapara is very, very different than mammon. Mammon is dollars and cents. Mammon is, it's a hefset mammon. If I say that Reuven broke a window, and then it turns out that I'm Edom Zomim, then Vasita Lokasha Zomim Lasso, I try to get him to write a $100 check, I have to pay in turn $100 check. That's Kasha Zomim. When it comes to Tashlumi Kapara, so Tashlumi Kapara, the whole Tashlumin is a statement relating to an Aveira that happened. It's a Kapara, it's an atonement. It's like bringing a carbon for an Aveira that happened. So the Aveira that happened is the Aveira of owning a shore and letting the shore go loose. Edom Zomim didn't do that in Aveira, and the Edom Zomim lied and based it. But the Aveira lied and based it doesn't bring with it the Shlumi Kapara of Kofar. It would be irrelevant, it would be absurd to apply the parish of Edom Zomim to a case of Kofar, because Kofar is so radically different, so fundamentally different. There is a Ramban, a Torah, that has an even more startling statement. The Ramban writes that Kapara is so radically different than other Tashlumin, that you're not even obligated to pay the Kapara in the following sense. Let's say Reuven Shore killed somebody, and so the Yoshim comes to Beis and think about this guy, he sure killed somebody. Im Kaifi Yishas Allah. Torah says, yep, they go for it. So the Beis brings him in and it says, okay, you were owner of a Shore Muad, your Shore Muad killed somebody, somebody, you have to take over. And the guy says, I don't want any kapara. I'm willing to risk it. I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it. I'm not interested in paying. What does the Beis Din say? So the Ramban is a startling statement. The Ramban says, okay, deal with it, Rosham, on your own terms. Because they we're not going to force you. You don't want to be a kapara, so don't get a kapara. Says the Ramban, that's what the Chumash means, Vashem Mishpatim, im kofar yushas alav. What does im kofar mean? Kofar means if kofar will be paid. What do you mean if kofar will be paid? Of course kofar is going to be paid. Says the Ramban, let's turn it up. Im kofar yushas alav. If the person wants to avail himself of this kapara, and then we'll give him the opportunity, and that's time to do an option. And if the person doesn't want to, we're not going to force him. That's what the Ramban says. So it's a fascinating Ramban. It highlights even sharper the difference between Tashlumi Kapar and other Tashlumin. The only problem is it's a very, very difficult Ramban. Most of the Rishon probably disagree with the Ramban. The Ramban has arrived with Gemara that many, many, many Rishon totally believed, understood the Gemara in a different vein. It's a very, very difficult Ramban. It's a very Mechudosh Tikkun Ramban. But again, the Ramban does highlight this idea that Kapara is very, very different from Tashlumi Mammon. So coming back to our sugya, if that's the case that it is so different, that Tashlumi Kofar, Tashlumi Kapara are so radically different than Tashlumi Mammon, then we can begin to understand perhaps why Kimlum Ramane doesn't apply. Kimlum Ramane is a Ptur on Mammon, Kimlum Ramane is not a Ptur on Kapara. Kapara is a different Pasha altogether. But we still want to finalize, we still want to make it a little bit clearer what is it about kapara that somehow still doesn't lend itself to kibud rabbanim? So we know there are differences. We know tashlumi kapara is different. We know that Ramban tells us it's radically different. We know the Gemara Machas Abay tells us that it's different vis-a-vis Eid Zomin, but we still haven't connected the dots yet. We're still not quite sure what is it conceptual about the Shulik Kapara that doesn't lend itself to Kilu Dravid.
Who gets the kofan?
Normally the Yarshim gets the kofan.
Is it the person who's damaged?
The person who's killed, he was killed, his children get the kofan.
Right, so if he doesn't get the kofan, isn't that further damage? Isn't that something that...
So that's what the Shulik Kapara basically says, that there really is no value in life. When a person... When the pill and the value to life, but you can't put a dollar and cents value on a person's life. So when Reuven's ox killed somebody, so it was a terrible thing, but the reason why he's paying is not because somebody broke somebody's window. The reason why he's paying is because he did an aveira, he brought about somebody's death, and now to be mechaper for that aveira, he has to pay money.
I see, but the Yarshim had this money coming to them.
But that's the thing, that's the chaper, they don't have to come to them. That's not money coming to them. It's not the same. It's not like in today's world you know, somebody gets killed, so you sue the person for, the loss of the breadwinner, loss of this, all that kind of stuff. In halacha, it doesn't really exist. In halacha, the halacha says that kofar is kapara, which basically means there's no value. There is no way to evaluate what a person's worth. Elohat, because you didn't have a retzich in a sense, you have to be the chapa for that.
If a person killed him, then you have
a... Well, no, a person killed him, he's chadis, and it's over. There's nothing up to anything. If a person breaks somebody's arm, then you pay. Then they tell you to show some emotions. But if you kill somebody, there's nothing left. That was off the record. That was the lawyers. The lawyers were the doctors. Okay.
If you had to go back to the idea of, like, Enoch Shemin Adin that we learned earlier, like, that there's a notion that you can't be Mitzvah, you can't apply a kapara. You know, that if we wanted to say that paying back is a kapara, so... Sorry, you can't say that. Like the Kalahomer, I can learn that one time because I can't. I don't have that capacity
right.
To understand how to apply the
right. Kapara's are in the world, right.
So then maybe in the same context, Kilim Rami is working the same kind of.
Right, but here's almost the other way around. He was saying that when you use Kilim Rami to pop the use of Kapara, I mean, the starting point should have been I should have paid Kofar for killing somebody. That should have been the starting point. The other thing is different. What you're saying that you can't be mechayev a person with Kofar because. The Torah speaks about Shor, and like Mehecha Tesi, you should take Kavachomer. The only problem is the Gemara says Kavachomer. The Gemara Kavachomer that Chavav says that I would have said there's a Kavachomer, Ma'adach, a Shor pays, Kavachomer, a person pays, Kamash from the Postman. You're asking Kash in the Gemara. How can you say Kavachomer in the realm of Kapar? Isn't that all like a violation of the Elishma? That's your Kash. That's an interesting Kash. That's the other end of the argument. Okay. So, again, so we're still searching, we're still trying to finalize this idea. What is it about kofar, about kapara, that somehow doesn't lend itself to kibud rabbanim? So we have to learn another sugya that appears, believe it or not, also Machas Abayim Ibn Aleph, just by coincidence. Mm-hmm. A sugya in Machas Abayim Ibn Aleph that may shed some light or may make things even more confusing about this mystery about why there's no kibud rabbanim and kofar, at least according to one opinion it doesn't. So the background to the sugya is the very, very first, it's the 11th of the Mamre Kamos, it's a Rizvah Masechet Machas. But the Rizva is commenting on a Mishnah, the very, very first Mishnah in Masechet Matos, where the Mishnah starts out by telling us, case of the Edom Nasim Zomim. What's a good case? What's a good description of Edom Zomim? So the Gemara is quick to point out that this is probably not the best case of Edom Zomim. It's actually almost the opposite of Edom Zomim. Case of Ein Edom Nasim Zomim violates the Gemara's first cash in Matos HaBeis. The Mishnah gives the following case. Two Edom walk in the basement and they say, you see that fellow over there, Reuven? You think he's a Kohen. For the last 30 years, he's been getting the first Aliyah guest spot. He's not a Kohen. Why is he not a Kohen? Because we were there 30 years ago when his mother got divorced. And then she married his father. And his father was a Kohen. He wasn't allowed to do that. And the result of a Kohen marrying a Grusha is that the child is a Cholom, that he loses conditions going up. So, in effect, they have testimony. By testifying that this guy, Sheimo, Beyond Ploni, his mother got divorced on day such and such, a place such and such. So that's tantamount to saying the fellow's a cholom. What happened? Two other Edom walk in and say, you are going to testify that his mother got divorced 30 years ago on New York, and that you were with us in California that exact same day. Your mother was Yisem. Boom, that's the parasha of Edom Zomim. So if I would have plugged in the parasha of Edom Zomim, I would have said that they tried to turn him into a cholom. They tried to turn him into being a non-Kohen. We should take the Edom and turn them into non-Kohen as well. Now, if the Edom themselves happen to be Israelim, that would be quite a difficult feat to pull off. But even if the Eidim are Kohanim, lo and behold, the two Kohanim, I guess they want to get the first Aliyah. That's a good way to bump a guy out of the list. They turn him into a Cholo. So they try to turn the Eidim into a Cholo. And now, Imanu Yisam, we should apply the parasha of Eidim Zobin. The very first Mishnah Mach says, no, it's not true. You don't do that. Why? That's the Asisam low below the Zahra. That if you're going to turn the Eidim into Chalolim, that's going to impact not just themselves, it's going to impact their children, the generations to come. Chalolim goes to the next generation. And therefore, that's not included in the Bashim Azam. Special difficult, the Donetsk and the Kashas, Asisam low below the Zahra. Therefore, the Eidim Zomen are not treated as regular Eidim Zomen. They are not turned into Chalolim. What do you do with them? So the opening Mishnah says you give them Malkus instead. How did that come? Where did that come from? That's the longest. That's the first thing in the days. And Malkus, what's the nature? That didn't. Well, is that from Sukkim? Is that a din hazama? Different din. That's where all the Torah is on those with Malkus to Ian. That's the opening Mishnah. The Shik Chalolim in Masechet Matan. But we want to stop for a minute. And the Rishon Mabonim with the question. Rishon Mabonim with the question. Wait a second. You can't turn the Eidim into Chalolim. That I understand. Lolo Lazaro. But when you testify that a fellow is a Cholol, that was a tremendous Hesed Mamon. Because up until now, this fellow was collecting Truma, he was collecting Chal, he was collecting Bikurim. Rashi's like, yeah, the guy's making a fortune. He was making, he collected all the Matnas Kuna. And now you just took away all those Matnas Kuna from him. So we should be able to put a dollar and cent sign on that and make the Eidim pay for that. So I understand that the Eidim Zomim cannot be treated as Chalolim. That would be a violation of Lo v'lo v'zaro. But why can't you make them pay for the monetary loss? No different than in the other case of monetary Eidim Zomim. So that's the question that all the Rishonim are bothered with. The Ritva, the Levit, and the Mamakamos collects the different answers from the Rishonim, and one of the answers is going to become critical for us again. So the Ritva continues on the Levit and the Mamakamos. The Tani Shalokin Bovad, that the Eidim Zomim of Chalolim just get Malkus. The Ein Torah Hazam is Keres Ben Klal, and there's no Hazam. Hazam will not be played out. Even though they are causing a tremendous loss to this Kohen, and what happened to that monetary loss? So there are many, many answers that are given. So I'm sure I'm giving an answer that it's indirect, because I'm not saying, it's not like I'm saying you broke a window. It's not like I'm saying that you borrowed money. I'm saying that you're not a Kohen, and that, down the line, is going to lead you, and 10 years from now, no one's going to give you Truma. So some Rishonim say, that's not Hazam, that's too indirect. Other Rishonim say, there's no dollars in cents. How in the world are you going to evaluate all the subsequent Truma that the fellow would have gotten? When Aiden say, Reuben broke Shimon's window, so then windows worth $500, so they were causing you $500. How in the world can you evaluate what a lifetime loss of Truma is? It's just, it's not Nitan to Tashlum, and the whole thing doesn't make any sense. But so there is one quote to another answer. Old Pirshiva tells us in the second line, Bitaima, he quoted Tosfos, we don't have this Tosfos, but there were many, many different Tosfos that were written that we don't have on the page. Old Pirshiva tells us, Bitaima, the Hadikema de la Makaimin Buazama, the Maida Vika Sadu Sayhu, the Psua the Gufa, the Ben Grusha Ben Chalutza, Lok Makamin and Lebaha, the Lok Makamin and Hazal Chatsoin. There's the Rizva Yisod, that Hazama is all or nothing. Basita l'chashin zama means that if you can fulfill hazama in its entirety, then you do it. And if you can only meet out a half-baked hazama, then don't do it. That's not the fashion of hazama. Basita l'chashin zama, it has to be 100% kashin zama. So if Adam testified Reuben broke a window, we can make them pay to the full extent of what they wanted to make the other person suffer. If Reuben should testify that somebody killed somebody, we can make them punished. We can punish them to the same extent. We can give them misa as well, the exact extent of what they wanted to punish somebody else. But when two Eidim testify that Reuven's not a Kohen anymore, then we cannot mete out a full hazam to them because we cannot turn them into chalolim because lo v'lo l'zaro prevents us from doing so. So what do we want to give them? We want to give them a half-baked hazam. Instead of giving a full Azamah, we'll give them a little mashu of Azamah, the value of X amount of Truma, Chal, and Bikurim, except for the next 100 years. So says the Ritva, that tells us that's not a valid application of Azamah. Azamah has to be all or nothing in terms of Azamah. That's the parasha of Asit Mokash Azamah. So based on this, comes the Ritva and asks the Kasha, if that's true, that Azamah is all or nothing, the Afagav, the Armidan, the fourth line that Ritva, the Afagav, the Armidan, and said, headed up there. The Eden on of the Ish Ashes Ploni, Shazin Savahuzmu, Shneharagin be'eim shavu k'suvah shem asidim la. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin that if two Edom walk in the bay, they didn't say that a certain woman was married, that she was Mazana. She was Mazana willingly with somebody else. What are they testifying in effect? They testify, number one, she is Chayev Espisa, and number two, they also testify she's going to lose her k'suvah. So they're coming at her to punish her in a sense. They're coming to make her lose two things, her life and her money. And now for whose move? They turn out to be Edom's own. What happens to them? So the Mishnah said that, I'm sorry, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Nehrogin. The Edom are killed because they try to kill her, they're killed. The Eimisham Ksuba, they don't have to reimburse her for Haksuba. Why is that? Because it's called Midramine. You want to punish Edom by saying, we're going to make you do two things. We're going to kill you and take away your money. A double whammy, a double cash is on. We can't do that to you because Kamel Midramine is going to save you. So Nebuch, if you're going to get killed, that's the bad news. You're going to save you. You don't have to take Ksuba. You don't have to reimburse her for the Ksuba. Yes, there is more cash. But that's a non-fulfillment of a total hazama. According to the principle that the Ritva just laid down for us, that hazama is all or nothing, why can you apply hazama there? Why don't we say, well, if you can't do everything, then do nothing. That's the Ritva's kasha. So this kasha was actually asked by the Ramban. Put it on the Ritva, just that there were a couple of typos in the Ramban, so it's easier to read in the Ritva. So the Ritva is the following yisod. It's the yisod right out of the words of the Ramban, and this is going to become potentially relevant for absolute here. Says the Ritva, the second line at the bottom, that's a different one. Chasam keva bekimle vidramine, din toru, shebechom makam sheyesh miso mamon, shehamisa omedes bemakam shneem, v'kula hazamahi. Says the Ritva, when you mete out a punishment of misa for somebody, and you don't give them mamon, it's not pshat that you're not making them pay mamon. You are paying, they are paying mamun. How they pay mamun? They didn't pay the money, they didn't write the check. The answer is that Nisa is kolel both, that included in the punishment of Nisa is the punishment of mamun. Alam the shalom to Shiloh that the Ritva and the Ramban are raising, what's Chani Kamadramine? Kamadramine means that I burnt out a house on Shabbat. But the halacha is I have Nisa and I don't pay the money. Is Pshat that I'm puffed for paying the money? That there's no chiv at all? Torah says that whenever there's a chi of Nisa, a chi of Mammon never kicked in. It was totally off the, scratched off the book. It was never a chi of Mammon. Upshad is no. There was a chi of Mammon. Elohat, the chi of Mammon can be played in one of two ways. Either you can pay with a check of $100, or if I get something more serious than that, it's Yesh Lechla Masai Mana. That included in the chi of Nisa that they said and did it to me, it's as if the chi of Mammon takes place. It's not upshad that the chi of Mammon is potter. You know, the chiyuv mamon is a nichlal the onesh hachomer. Normally, the Torah says when you burn down a house, so the onesh that you have for burning down a house is paying the value of the house. You pay $100,000 and finish it done. But if you happen to be chayv nisa at the same time, so the Torah says that the onesh of nisa substitutes for the chiyuv mamon. It's not pshat that you're potter for the chiyuv mamon. Licked in the chiyuv nisa is an application, is an administration of the chiyuv mamon as well. That's the yisod of the Ramban. And therefore, the Ramban and Ritva say, I fulfilled Kesha Zamun in its entirety. When the two Edom are brought to Bezin and say, how come you testified against that woman? You try to kill her and you try to make her lose the Ksuba. We're going to mete out a punishment to you. We're going to kill you. What the Bezin says is, we're going to kill you and make you pay the Ksuba. Not really. They're not going to literally shell out the 200 Zuz of the Ksuba. But linked in their Misa Bezin is an administration of the Mammon. That's the Yisof and the Ramban and the Ritva. Sheha Misa Omenes B'mokom Shneem B'kula Zamun. And that fulfills the criteria of Kula Zom. Yep, when you learn Makna Zabay, you got to sit over this Ramban. I'm not saying we did this all the years. Thank you. I don't think we ever quoted this Ramban or Ritva. But this Ramban and Ritva, you sow that, you sow this, and those are the Kula Zom.
Simple understanding.
Kimle, Rabba. Right, means you're getting the bigger one. The big one is covering the little one, right? Right, that's the word. Right, the word is almost out of the way. Right. Now, let's begin to analyze our Shaila in light of this breakthrough of the Ramban and the Ritva. We've been trying to explain away this whole idea that the Shlomei Kapara doesn't lend itself to Kimli Ramine. At least according to one Dan tells us, others disagree. The one Dan tells us that Kimli Ramine doesn't lend itself to the parasha of Kapara. Why not? Well, the Chora, the reason why not is as follows. That Tashlumei Kapara don't emanate from the other person's claim against it. We spoke a little bit about this Rabbi Chodim last week. The reason why I have to pay the Shlomei Kapara is I have a debt to settle with the Rebbe Shlomo. I did something. I let my axe go wild, and I killed somebody. I ate the true Meshuggah, etc. I did an Avera, and that Avera requires kapara. So what are we going to say to you? Don't worry about your potter. It's okay, your potter. You don't have to pay the money. You don't need a kapara. I'm potter because it comes around every day. I have to pay the money, Shlomo. This Shlomo, when my entire debt emanates from your claim against me, so the Torah says that the Torah releases that claim. The Torah says, you burnt that house on Shabbos, we're going to kill you, and we're going to give you that's the bad news, we're going to kill you, the good news is that you're possibly from paying. So the Torah releases that debt. But if the chiyuv is because I need the chiyuv, not that the other guy needs the money, the chiyuv is popping me, what does Kilmi Rabbi do with that? So I have to clear the air for the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I did have David S. So I'm the chiyuv to take care of that. I require a kapara. So you tell me a story that, well, it's okay, Beis Din is not going to minister the kapara. It's nothing to do with Beis Din, nothing to do with the other guy, nothing to do with dollars and cents. It's like, I have to bring a carbon. What are you going to tell me a story? Kim and Rami, don't bring a carbon. But I need the kapara. So of course they have to bring the carbon. So if you hold that Kim and Rami is a poter, that when you have Kim and Rami, so there's no chiyuv, there's no money that's changing hands, that's a big problem. So how can Kim and Rami work on a tashlumi kapara? So the Rishonim, the Tosas that says that Kim and Rami doesn't apply to tashlumi kapara, probably doesn't buy into this Ramban, doesn't buy into this Rishon. Because what these Rishonim and Marcus and Zadeh are saying is that Kibbutz Ramadi is not a poter. Kibbutz Ramadi doesn't mean you're not paying. You are paying. You don't see the payment. It doesn't look like a check, like a regular check, but Al-Pidin you're paying. If Al-Pidin I'm paying, then I'm getting a kapara. So the same way I get a kapara for writing a check to the other guy, I get a kapara by getting killed. So when I get killed, what was the Ramban's lashon? Shanisa medis b'makom shneya v'kulazami. So the kapara was fulfilled. So the Tosfos that says that Kibbutz Ramadi doesn't apply to kapara, Tosfos is disagreeing with this responder of that. This whole thing, Kibbutz Ramadi is a poter. Kibbutz Ramadi is not a teshlum. It's not that there's a payment taking place. But now, all right, finally, after 5 days, finally, all right, it's beginning to open up to this, what's really going on in this thing. We have a fundamental question to be shown him, whether teshlum and kapara is subject to Kibbutz Ramadi. We saw one day in Tosfos says, no, there's no Kibbutz Ramadi and kapara, and other days in Tosfos said, yes. What's the issue? What are they arguing? What are they fighting about? So what seems to be the root of the Machlokes is, it's more of a Kibbutz Ramadi question than a Kapara question. Namely, what happens? What are the mechanics of Kibbutz Ramadi? Is Kibbutz Ramadi just an outright tour? If it's an outright tour, that's very problematic because I need the Kapara, so I can't, I'm not entitled to a tour. I can't think about a Beis Din pottering me. If I'm Chayes Papishmaya. But if you hold that, Kibbutz Ramadi is much different than a tour. Kibbutz Ramadi is a fulfillment of the Tashlum Imamun, as the Ramban and the Ritzvah say. So then that would make sense. Even like Tashlum Kapara, I am paying the money. I'm not paying it with dollars and cents with a check. I'm paying it through my life. That's also called the Tashlum. If you didn't ask the Tashlum, the same way the Ramban and the Ritzvah said, Shambisa Me'etzav Akshem Kulazami, that's called the Might of Tashlum. Even though it's not costing me any money, my life is, my money is included in my life. That seems to be the root of the issue that the Mishnah is discussing. So going back to what we've been talking about already for the last 2 weeks, we're just trying to solve one question. One question is, why do I need a pasuk to tell me that there's no tashlume kofar for a person killing somebody? Why do I need a pasuk for it? Isn't it obvious it's Kibbutz Ramadi? So one day in Tosfos was, no, Kibbutz Ramadi doesn't apply because it's the same action, so it's the same action, the same mechayev. That's by Kibbutz Ramadi. That was last week's answer. And now this week's answer, the end of last week's answer, was the other day tells us, no, it's Tashlumi Kapara. In order to understand that, we had to prove that Kofar is in fact Tashlumi Kapara. We weren't even sure if that's true. We had to understand a little bit about that Tashlumi Kapara is not subject to Kibbutz Ramadi. We had to bring riots from the Rosh and the whole Sugyas and the Taizim about Tashlumi Truma that took us off the half of last week. And then we finally put this together with the Ramban and the Rizvah. What is a child? Not a child of Kibbutz Ramadi. So far, we have two out of the three answers to the question of why we need a pasuk from Bishop Tavaro. We'll go to the third answer, a whole other approach to show them why do you need a pasuk to tell me there's no Kibbutz Ramadi in the Kofar. Isn't it obvious? What happened to Kibbutz Ramadi? Why is it a Kofar by people? We'll finish up tomorrow.